I don't really even understand what's happening here right now, just in terms of, isn't this what essentially the players wanted all along, except for shorter games? Is this just not an indication that Major League Baseball owners don't really want to play a season or are pretty comfortable not playing a season?
Well, it's an indication that things are finally starting to move. The fact that a couple of days ago, the owners were saying there is no chance that you are going to receive your prorated salaries. And today it's, okay, well, maybe we'll give you your prorated salaries, but only over 40 or 50 games. I know it sounds like intense rhetoric, but in reality, that is movement. So we are getting closer. It seems to me from this point, it is not too big of a leap to get up from 50 games to 80 games, make a couple concessions on the player side, and get this done. And I really do believe that's going to happen and soon. It's just, this has been such a drawn out, exhausting process that I understand why a lot of fans want them to just shut up and not say anything until they have a deal done.
Well, how does it look on owners, though? I know that fans eventually won't really care because if there's baseball back, they'll just be thrilled to have it. And if you're a baseball fan, you want it. If you're a baseball player, you want to get back out on the diamond. But if you're paying attention to this and baseball owners take their sweet time to eventually get to this place where they get closer to 82 games, they get closer to prorated salaries, they make a couple of concessions, they're taking these big losses. And they squander the opportunity to dominate the sports cycle between June and July, and all of a sudden that they're spending the majority of their seasons competing against the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA finals, and all of a sudden a Masters or a golf major schedule, the NFL popping up. How does that look just for them as business people in terms of trying to grow their game? Because it feels like just an unbelievably massive opportunity that they missed here.
Right. What's so remarkable about these negotiations as we sit here today is that you have baseball players pushing for 100, 110 games, and the owners are now saying, let's play 50. So what kind of look is it when Major League Baseball is actively pushing for less baseball? That is, to me, completely the wrong message that the league and the owners should be sending. And there's no doubt that it gives the impression that there are at least some owners that would rather not play at all. And that if you're a baseball team owner, and even for one second, you're giving the impression to anybody that you would rather not play baseball than not, why would you own a team at all? What is the point? So it's been very frustrating. And the difference with this negotiation than others is that typically fans side with the owner sort of blindly. They call the players greedy. They don't seem to understand the player side. But this one's been different. From hearing from fans, getting emails, tweets, there seems to be much more support for the player's position this time than I think there typically is in these labor negotiations, which I just find interesting if nothing else.
Well, they also had the variable of health, right? That they were able to play a card of, hey, we want to make sure that it's safe and we're also taking added risk. And so the idea of taking on added risk in this climate for less pay, who would want to do that? And it actually was something that was pretty relatable. It was why it was so frustrating when you saw stuff like Kevin Pillar talking about, putting food on his family's plate, using that type of language, or Blake Snell when he said the "I gotta get mine," or Ryan Zimmerman when he turned it into, "Well, will it even be as fun? And do I get to have dinner with my fam or with my teammates as often as I normally would?" It's like, okay, you guys are kind of losing the plot here. You can just stick to, hey, it's a pandemic, and we don't want to set a bad precedent for our pay scale. We don't want to give opportunistic owners an opportunity to take advantage of us, and we want to make sure that if we are playing in a less safe environment, that it's reflected so in our pay. And I think most people would have just fallen in line with that. And it seems like that you're right, that is working to a degree, that the guys who have stayed on that message, it's resonated with fans, and it's resonated with a lot of people who don't seem to have job security right now or who are already laid off and are thinking about their financial futures. And so the next step for players here is going to be what? Is just simply going to be asking for more games, or is there a part of this proposal that you think they're going to look at and say, well, also this?
I think ideally they're going to want protections for moving forward. Obviously, the players are very concerned about what free agency is going to look like the next couple of years, and understandably so. Whatever we want to say here, the owners are going to be losing money this year, or going to be making at least significantly less than they're accustomed to. We're moving into a world where there'll be no fans in the ballpark this season. Even next season, we don't know what the situation will be with fans in attendance. Will the stadiums be full? In either way, we're heading into a difficult period economically, and you have to imagine that the revenues of the game in general are not going to get back up to where they were before the pandemic anytime soon. So the players are nervous about that. I think there are ways you could sort of negotiate protections in that regard, things like changing the salary, the luxury tax threshold and other things like that, qualifying offer rules. The owners want protections too, however. The owners are really concerned about the possibility of there being no playoffs. That they have a season, they pay the players whatever they pay them, and then it's time for the postseason, and this second wave of the coronavirus comes, and all of a sudden there is no postseason, they don't make any money. So I do think for this to get done, the players will have to make some concession that will protect for the possibility of the playoffs being canceled. These seem like issues that should be able to be bridged.
Do you think that the owners actually come through with the player opt-out? Because I think a lot of people would look at that and say, okay, well, that seems fair that guys be able to opt out if they're not comfortable playing, or if they have an at-risk family member, or if they are further at risk themselves, they don't want to play. But I'm assuming the implication there is that you opt out and that you're getting your full pay, or at least close to your full pay. And yeah, I could see owners also wanting to have like some pretty strict guidelines there. And it's like, what happens if that ends up being Mike Trout and you have to pay out Mike Trout's salary versus, a guy who is on his first major league contract? Is that something to you? Like, how do you see that part of the negotiation playing out, or where it's at right now with owners?
So the player's proposal said anybody can opt out. Those who are high risk or live with someone high risk would receive their full pay. Those who are not and choose to opt and choose not to play anyway would not be paid, but they would receive their service time, their major league service time. So hypothetically speaking, if Mookie Betts were to not play, he would not get paid, but he would still become a free agent at the end of the year. That was the player's proposal. I think there's ways to make something like that work. The sticking point is going to be sort of defining high risk. The players say high risk. They don't define what high risk means. Obviously, in an actual agreement, that would need to be spelled out. What does high risk mean? And I'm sure there'll be fights over it. But at the end of the day, I think these two sides don't agree on very much. But the one thing they do agree on is that it would be very, very bad if baseball players get sick or worse. And I think they recognize that this is the place where they sort of have common ground. So at the end of the day, health and safety, I don't think is going to be the thing to stop this deal from going forward.
My one point of curiosity with that, though, would be, and again, not to be the pessimistic person or to have a negative outlook on this, but is, okay, well, say if you're a pitcher with a big arm and you're looking at this and saying, well, I'm actually a year away from free agency, and sure, there's some financial uncertainty moving forward, but why would I come back and risk either getting hurt or having a season where I'm not, maybe I don't play very well and I diminish my value, but I know what the value is now. And again, I haven't even looked into yet who these players could even be. But someone who is on still their first contract or who isn't getting paid a lot of money, and they kind of look at this as, you know what, this actually isn't a chance for me to make that much. This is a prorated salary. It's not really that much. I would be really risking a lot of my financial future. You know what, I'm just going to say that it's part of not being comfortable and I'm out and I'm not going to play. And okay, maybe I don't get paid, but it also diminishes the product.
No, you are – it's an absolutely fair point. And I do think that's a concern that players would do that. You know, Marcus Stroman or Trevor Bauer, James Paxton, Jose Quintana, these are all, you know, talented starting pitchers that are supposed to be free agents next year. Does one of them or all of them say, well, why play? Why risk injuring myself? I'm just going to get a big contract next year. Yeah, this is going to be a sticking point. The league obviously doesn't really like the idea of players that aren't high risk being able to opt out and still get service time, but it's a point of negotiation. I don't think that this is the issue that either side is going to die on, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. They're not going. They could negotiate in this space and come to an agreement, whereas the money issue seems to be where they're so entrenched in their position that it's going to really take someone to budge to move forward. Here, I think they have different opinions, but they're close enough where they'll be able to massage this and come up with a policy that works.
So, as of today, you are optimistic or more optimistic that baseball will be played this year, professional baseball will be played this year?
I think today is, I think since yesterday is probably the most optimistic I've been. Only because you hear the owners talking about their last resort or their ultimate threat, their last ditch effort. It wasn't, we're going to walk away and not play. It was, we're going to make you play 40 games. What does that tell me? It tells me that they know, the owners know and the players know, but the owners know that not playing baseball is not an option. It would be suicidal for the industry. It would be an absolutely disastrous decision. And the fact that they know that is an incredible motivator. It's an incredible leverage point. And because they realize that, everybody has incentive to get this done, and nobody has an incentive for it to fall through. So I do believe it gets done. I do think it's going to be ugly still for a couple more days, but having been around these negotiations and these two sides that are so opposed and dislike each other so much, the negotiations are always really terrible until suddenly they're not. And I really believe that sometime in the next four, three, four, 5 days, we'll go from terrible to suddenly not so terrible.